This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Now we got to talk about those Knicks a little bit from last night. And listen, they played great. Well, I mean, they played hard, and they played with purpose. There were definitely a few things I could nitpick on, but you can tell, for me, 30 seconds into the game, that number one, the game was going to be reffed very differently, but number two, the Knicks were ready to, you know, try to match Detroit's intensity, and that's the only way Detroit could win, to try to muck this thing up. I mean, they basically have two guys who could put the ball in the hole. That's it. I mean, they're just such an inferior team to this Knicks squad, and yet they, I don't want to say the Knicks almost lost, because that wackiness with the clock and, you know, watching the game, even though the Pistons were definitely right there many different times, every time the Pistons went on a little run and started to assert themselves, bang, 9-0 Knicks run, boom, 10-1 Knicks run, or 13-2, like, Knicks always answered back. And there were a bunch of things that we talked about for the last couple of days that certainly bothered me, more than Sal, bothered me. Game two, that I needed to see immediately dispelled for game three. One was Cat, came out incredibly aggressive, incredibly focused, and incredibly proactive. Now, for that to happen, the other thing that I needed to see, and this was Sal's thing, and I agreed with this too, but I was more Cat, he was more Brunson, and I'm also more Tibbs, that he had to be less ball dominant, Jalen Brunson. The hero ball wasn't working, and for Cat to be involved, there had to be a little bit of a shift in that philosophy, and that obviously happened. So Brunson was ready to kind of change a little bit. Cat was ready to take the mail. Knicks did a better job on the backboard. Game two, they were minus 14 last night. I think they were minus 2 or minus 3. And really, guys, just top to bottom, and this is one of the special qualities of the Knicks when it's working well. Like, their ball movement was pristine. Last night, it was just, boom, just like hot potato, bang, Bridges, OG, boom, pump fake, over to Brunson, download a Cat, swing it here, pump fake there, get it to the corner. It was a nice flow to the offense. Now, I've been very critical of the coach. That hasn't changed. I don't think Tom Thibodeau is a championship coach. I do think the Knicks will win the series, even at my nuttiest the other day and at points this season. I never didn't think they were going to win the first round series. I think they'll probably drop one more game, and I think they'll win in six, and then I think they'll get punked by the Celtics. That is what I think is going to happen. But at least, I'll at least give you this. At least last night, I can see, now this is a stretch because I don't believe this, but I could see it a little more clearly, the components of what could happen in this alternate universe where the Knicks were to beat the Celtics. And again, they're not playing Celtics yet. There's still going to be a bit of a tough series here, I expect. But that is, you know, five offensive threats on the floor. Well, usually four, because Josh Hart's obviously not shooting, but he did a lot of good things last night. I just really like the way they look. And one thing last night, one thing I'm trying to decipher, and I, Hoff, I know you were locked into the game too, and I want your opinion on this. Like, early on, it was Cat, like, doing these little, you know, elbows when nobody's looking, just kind of disengaging from the pack, and I loved it. And what Cat does, like, Cat's one of these guys, unlike Oak or, you know, like, an enraged lunatic who's ready to throw down at any expense, Cat, to me, or Draymond Green, Cat exudes almost happiness when things get a little chippy. Like, he starts smiling, and I can't tell if he's truly so unaffected and unimpacted by that smoke and that potential dust up, and that's his way of being like, whatever, dude, or that's his way of dealing with fear. Because I still think there's an element of Cat, when, you know, not this series, but eventually we're going to be sitting here saying Cat wasn't a dog enough when he needed to be. What do you read these little flare-ups with his body language? Am I overreading this? What do you see?
I believe he's kind of like that natural, you know, kind of, I don't want to say Sean Avery because he's not that dirty, but
it's an interesting comparison.
But he's that type of guy where he has no problem doing it. He just doesn't feel the need to do it all the time. So when he has to, I think someone probably got in his ear and said, dude, you gotta match their energy, their intensity. Please, just for us, because they're getting a little dirty, they're getting a little cheap, the extra hits. Well, there's a lot of nastiness going on. Even the Jalen Brunson, I got to say, Jalen Brunson poked Hardaway in the eye.
That was Hardaway on the three.
And that was a deserved flagrant one.
I agree. I don't think he did it on purpose, but that's inconsequential to the call. You go above the neck, you got to review it. They did it, clearly got him in the eye. That was a 9-0 run, by the way. That's where I'm like, oh, boy. And Brunson had a couple of fouls. That was second, I believe. So he went to the bench there, and some other players had some fouls. It was, you know what it was? And they kept saying, was it on nationally? I watched Spreen and Han. I thought they did a good job. The arena was popping. I mean, they haven't won before the other night, or game one, game two. They hadn't won a playoff game since 2008. You know, and the Pistons, obviously, you guys know about the Bad Boys. But, like, the Pistons have a very proud basketball tradition, and I lived there for a year and a half, so I was in the middle of it because that was one of my early radio jobs when they were still playing at the Palace of Auburn Hills. That was Carlisle, and that was Stack, and that was Big Ben Wallace, and that was a team that was fun to Chauncey. So they love their hoops. The arena is doesn't have any soul yet because they haven't had any big games there until last night, but that was the kind of game that you had to appreciate if you're a throwback basketball fan. The refs, even though the whistle was a little more plentiful in certain spots, if you will, than the previous game, the players were intense. Bickerstaff and obviously Thibodeau's always complaining about the calls here. They were after the refs from the first minute of the game. The crowd, you know, and I know a lot of people get on fans, especially pertaining to last night, you know, F you Brunson. They kept doing that. Listen, I would never do that. You know, you have kids. You don't really want kids to be exposed to that. But, I mean, come on. Get out of the pulpit, dude. Take off the robe and stop preaching to us. I see so many people, what are they doing? It's so disrespectful. I mean, yeah, I don't love it, and I don't do it. I really don't, but this is kind of what happens. I think you actually had a problem with it. Didn't you tweet something?
No, I had a problem. Well, I did have a problem with Detroit Pistons fans, but not for that. I don't care about the curse or whatever.
I didn't. It was very.
It was around the same time.
What?
I pissed. There was like 4 seconds left. They hit a three. They're down by 3 points, and the crowd was leaving.
Oh yes, okay.
I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? You haven't played a game since 2008 in your building, and you're leaving with time on the clock.
That's a good call.
Listen, it took forever to finish the game, that's embarrassing.
That's a good call, and that's not that dissimilar. And you can't get back into the, especially after 9/11. But when Kirk Gibson took Eckersley deep in '88, you see the old footage there with Vince Scully. You see a sea of red brake lights. People like, whoa, they heard it on the radio. They tried to get back into the state. They're like, nope, can't come back in. I didn't know what you meant, but I would agree on that. That is, yeah, I mean, listen, come on, sit it out, man. Yeah, it's been a long time. So the Knicks did look good. I thought they'd win the series. I still do. It does not change my opinion big picture, but at least they give me a little more hope that maybe they can overachieve this year, because at least they answered the bell. And there's been something off this year from a physical and an emotional perspective. They were just dialed in, and they were ready to battle. And it was a good old school, you know, 90s-like, as Breen said a few times last night, kind of game. So it was a lot of fun. 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Giants and Jets draft. Knicks on the table. Let's get back to it. How about Steve in Holmdale? Hoff, I don't know why this is not working for me. You guys are going to have to help me. It's not punching up. I know you're trying to reset it. It's just not working. All right, let's get Eddie. Eddie's in Roselle Park. What's up, Ed?
Eddie. Good morning. How are you?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
I've kind of taken a different stance on this whole situation with Jackson Dart. A lot of people have been kind of ripping him to the side.
I'm wondering if you know who his offensive coordinator was down there at Mississippi.
Yes. This damn phone. Hold on. I got to figure this out. It is, what the hell is his name? He did the same thing for the kid a couple of years ago. I'm forgetting his name right now. Oh, God. Not Cutter. Who was it?
Charlie Weiss's son.
Okay. All right. That's not the name I was thinking, actually, but okay.
I think that the schedule that he played down there at Ole Miss,
yep,
even though we had a bad couple of games towards the end of the years, I think it kind of prepared him. And I think that what might have to happen is that you give Russell Wilson 7 or 8 games, and then also you let Jackson Dart finish the season like Eli Manning did. But
Ain't
I also think that...
Ed, he is not Eli, and thank you for the call there, buddy. I appreciate that. I know it's easy. I went to Ole Miss. I get it, but he's not Eli. I mean, he's not. So I don't know how much he's going to play this year. Matter of fact, I don't think he's going to play at all. And I think that could be a bit of a win-win here because but the problem, but I did say this in the first hour, it's a small thing, and the last thing I want to do is turn this into Jameis Winston here day after the draft. But you got Russ who's going to start. You got Jameis Winston. Now, Jameis is not signed for a lot of money. I think it was $4 million. I could be off on that. Fairly insignificant money for an NFL backup. But it's not like you took a fifth-round kid or a fourth-round kid who is deemed a real project that just needs to watch before he even gets practice reps. When the hell is he going to get some reps in practice, this young man? When is that going to happen, Jackson Dart? With Russell getting the lion's share as the starter, Jameis Winston's going to be the third? I mean, if I'm Jameis Winston, I'm like, thanks, but no thanks, cut me. I'll at least go somewhere else and be a backup, maybe with a chance to be a starter. So I do think that they need to resolve that. Not the biggest deal. It's not. But, you know, a Jackson Dart. And again, I just think about it, I start laughing. You're hearing Gio with the clap this morning and Gruden, too. But that is something that's like they're going to need to truncate that learning curve as quickly as possible. And it's from the verbal aspect. It's just from the speed. That is much different on Sundays than Saturdays. And if he's just sitting there watching, yeah, okay, great. I mean, dissecting film is fantastic. And watching Russell Wilson, who's a pro's pro, go about his craft has some advantages. But he's got to be getting some live bullets. And you got two quarterbacks who are pretty good, or at least interesting. He's not getting that. So I don't know. I really don't know what they're going to do. Let me get Chris in Michigan. You want to chime in on the Pistons fans. Chris, what's going on?
Yeah, so BT, I want to get to the game itself. I was there last night, but I also want to make a point that Hoff said.
Okay.
And those fans, you know, the fans in Michigan, I'm not going to say all of them, not Tigers fans, not Red Wings fans, but the Pistons fans, they only show up when the team's good. I get that. A lot of fan bases are like that.
Uh-huh.
But that place was loud.
Yeah.
If you were here, you were here in Detroit, that's when I first found out about you when I was a kid in high school, Phil. You were covering the Pistons at the Palace.
Yeah, I was.
You know that place. That place was rocking.
I loved going there. I had a lot of fun. There was a club there, too. I had a great time.
Yeah, for sure. And that was the beginning of that championship run.
Uh-huh.
But that did not feel the same at LCA. I've only gone to 8 games since LCA's been open. It's always mixed games.
Okay.
And for that to be a playoff game last night, it really didn't feel the same as the Palace. Now, the game itself.
Wow.
I was so excited to see how they all came out with a business mentality from the get-go. Karl Anthony Towns answered exactly what you put for him to do. He did it. Brunson, he did the captain thing. The thing that I don't think people are talking about enough is before, it was only OG. And shout out to OG. He got his touches. He got his points.
Yep.
OG, he does great defense, obviously, with Cade. But when they were switching, Mikal Bridges, I give you a round of applause. I stand up and clap for you because he picked up Cade and he stopped him himself as well.
He played well. Everybody played well. Honestly, everybody played well. I mean, even Campaign, thanks for the call, Chris. You guys got to help me with that. Remember Cam drilled that triple from the corner. He was also pretty fiery, pretty assertive there. Mitchell Robinson didn't do a ton, a couple of rebounds there, but I think he only played like 16 minutes. Mitch, I was a little surprised at that. No, but everybody that was on the court came in with a purpose and a focus and a direction and a directive to change the narrative that was beginning to grow around these Knicks. Guys, think about this. I mean, from right before the series started, before game one, that Friday, Me and Sal talked about, not very deeply, but we certainly touched it, about an article that was written that was quoting Wally Szczerbiak, who I certainly respect, and he knows more about the Knicks than us. He's there, and about the NBA, because he played. And his exact quote was something along the lines of, if the Knicks basically don't destroy the Pistons, not win, not just win, advance, if the Knicks don't dismantle the Pistons, then there's something seriously wrong with the chemistry or inside the locker room, or there's an issue. Like, it was fairly ominous. Like, it was a very unique take. And I give him credit for that, because I'm sure the Garden wasn't thrilled when he said it, you know, since he's on MSG. But he's not just throwing it. He's not a sensationalist. He's not Skip Bayless throwing something out there and hope it sticks, you know. He really knows it, feels it, sees it, believes it. So I'm not changing my tune on these Knicks. I think that fundamentally they are still short of a championship team. No question. From the coach and a few of the components, whether it's the bench, whatever. But at the very least, it shows a resolve that I wasn't even sure was quite there the way they showed last night. Like, it's one thing to say, all right, Celtics are better, Thunder better, Cavs probably better, but they're still, you know, fourth, fifth best team. And they are, record-wise, right? And I've always granted them that. But it's another when you say, nah, this team doesn't just feel like it. They don't feel like a championship team. And they don't. And they won't, to me. But at least I know the ticker is a little stronger than maybe I thought. Because if it wasn't, they would have been punked again last night, and they would have lost that game. And I think Town set the tone. Trying to get to the rim, even though sometimes it looks awkward, you know. And he had that one turnaround late for the baseline. Kind of looked like Patrick. I'm like, there you go. He played great. And good job by the Knicks. I want to read this before we get back to those phones, right? So think about all the draft stuff that you consume, all the draft stuff that you just dial into for months, and the measurables and the combine and all the constant, incessant nonsense that everybody spews on TV. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, these people are stealing money. They just really are. I mean, for the amount of times that they're right compared to the amount of times that they're wrong, I mean, it's not even close to being equitable. It's a joke. It really is. So long ago, I've tuned out most of the rhetoric and most of the nonsense. And here's an example why. So I told you I like the Giants' vision. I don't like the player that they drafted in terms of what they gave up to get him. I don't know that they love him. I think they like him. If they love them, they're not trying to move mountains to get Cam Ward, which was the report from Schefter, which I believe is rock solid. So I gave you that evidence, right? And that reason. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to be right. And I think Jackson Dart could play. I like him. But I would have taken Milroe. And I want to get to Milroe for a second. Because Milroe, to me, and we had the conversation before, should the Jets take a sniff at Sanders? And I would not. But I would definitely take Milroe from a Jets perspective, all right? Maybe move up. I don't know if I'd take him with the first pick in round two, which I would not. I think they have the 10th. Yeah, Jets, I think, are 10th pick in round two. If I can make a trade and maybe early round three, then I'm all in. But I just typed in Jalen Hurts NFL scouting report. Now, this isn't on some, you know, half-assed website that nobody knows without any reputation. This is literally from NFL.com. And it says, NFL comp. Would you like to take a guess there, Mr. Huff? Would you like to take a guess on the comp for one Jalen Hurts 5 years ago? Any name of the past jump out? You've seen Jalen play at Bama. You've seen him win a Super Bowl. Almost won another one. Outplayed Mahomes in the one that he didn't win. Like, who do you think is a comp that they would reference? Oh, that makes some sense there. I could see that.
Maybe a Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes?
No, Tim Tebow. This is what they're telling us 5 years ago about Jalen Hurts. Tim Tebow. He reminds them of Tim Tebow. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. He's an inconsistent decision maker, tends to break the pocket when there's throws. Blah, blah, blah. Deep ball touch, intermediate accuracy need to improve, which is not wildly inaccurate. Many teams see him as a developmental talent who could get better in the right scheme, but he'll struggle from the pocket. Yeah. Oh, how about this? This is the phenomenal endorsement they sign off with. It could, as I skip some part, make him a solid backup with potential upward mobility. He's a Super Bowl champion, you dopes. So I say this because Not that this person got it wrong. I'm again, where do we start with me? Zach? Even Tim Boyle. But, you know, I get it. It's hard. It is a hard thing to really evaluate. What I'm saying is with Jalen Milroe, I know the thing that I know he can do better than certainly Jalen Hurts is, and Jalen Hurts is good at this, is run. Jalen Hurts' 40 was, I think, 4.5 change. Jalen Milroe's 4.37. And by the way, Milroe is thicker and bigger. Now, there's so many parts here. You know, the Eagles are a great organization. They didn't throw him to the Wolves right away, which the Jets wouldn't because you have Justin Fields. They always emphasize offensive line. They always emphasize defensive line. So they generally get some good field position because their defense is good. I mean, they have good coaches. You name it. That's why they're champions. But think about this. 5 years ago, we're taking calls, and Jalen Hurts is available tonight, right? Like he was 5 years ago. And I just remain married to everything that I believe. Oh, this guy's Tim Tebow. This guy stinks. I wouldn't take a flyer on this guy. I'm telling you in advance, take a flyer on Jalen Milroe. Do it. All right, 888-808-1019. Let me get Mike. Mike, yeah, help me out there, boys. Mike is in West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey.
Hey, what's going on? I'm not going to sit here and trash the kid the Giants took in the end of their first round of quarterback, but I would have liked it a lot more if the Giants either fired Shannon Daboll or gave him an extension. Because now they're kind of lame ducks, and if they don't have a good year and you fire them, they're going to have – it's going to be the same – it's so jet-like what they did. I mean – they're going to have a second coordinator, a second system he has to learn. You're going to have to find a coach who actually likes this kid, mm-hmm. or it's a wasted pick. I mean, that's
Mike, I don't
the
think
only
they, Mike, I don't
I
think
they,
Mike,
it.
They're not getting fired, Mike. I honestly don't think they're getting fired. I think
well,
that
they give them the extension then.
Well, they might.
I'm not be lame ducks.
I get it. Listen, by the way, every time this comes up, there, Mike, and thanks for the call, bud. I work under the notion, not the fact, the notion. Big difference. That I believe that John Mara, on some level, has communicated to them, do what's right for the franchise, don't do what's right to save your ass. I believe somewhere along the line, maybe not quite communicated in those words or that way, I think that that's the sentiment. I do. Like, you're going to play Russell Wilson. Okay, are you expected to win a lot of games with Russell Wilson? With this defense, I think the Giants are going to be on the cusp of a playoff team. I said that yesterday. I really do. I think the Giants are going to have a back end of the top 10 defense in the entire NFL. And they lost a bunch of games last year, 1-5, 1-3 in overtime, 1-3 regulation, 7. Like, they lost 5 or 6 games with horrid quarterback play. Now, I know Russell Wilson's not what he used to be, but I also know that he's still a functional NFL quarterback. That I know. People disagree, that's fine. I see him, I'm like, okay, he could still play a little bit. He could. And if at least you show, like, if the defense is good, and, you know, I know the schedule is going to be tough. That's not going to help anybody here. But you can't worry about that now. You just deal with it because who knows who gets hurt. Like, that's the one thing everybody does is, like, Mike and Chris, win, loss, win, loss. Yeah, but you don't know who you're playing, when you're playing them. Is this quarterback out? Is this guy out? Everything could change, right? Short week, long week, coming off the bye, whatever. In London, there's just too many variables to waste time on that now. But the schedule is tough on paper. But I think that there's a few scenarios that could unfold here. Number one, the Giants defense could look really sharp, which I'm almost promising you that it will. And the offense will be 15 to 20, maybe 25% better than a year ago. And they can win 9-ish games and kind of be in the hunt. The other thing that could happen is, I think really under any equation, I think the defense is going to look good. Unless the offense is so inept that the defense is on the field for 50 snaps a game and they're shot, which has happened in the past. I don't think that'll happen. But every scenario for me has the Giants defense being good. The other thing, option B or possibility of a B, is that I'm overstating Wilson a little bit. And they go to Jameis, and he's a pick six machine, and they're a train wreck on offense. And instead of maybe winning 9 or so and being competitive and kind of being on the rise, there's a stagnation and an energy that is not good around the franchise, which has happened many times. flying banners over the stadium. We know how unhappy you guys are, and you should be. They've stunk. But even if that happens, the saving grace, the variable is, all right, you finally got your quarterback. Now we're going to give you another year to coach him up. And if that doesn't work out well, now we move on. I would almost guarantee under any circumstance, they're back for 2027. Well, hold on, 2026. Yeah, that's how I feel. Knicks looked good last night, as we obviously talked about that. I want to get to something on Volpe, something on Brett Beatty, and we'll do that before we get out of here, too, and that's Evan and Tiki coming up after us. Listen, I like the fact that the NFL's expanded their draft coverage. Like, Radio City was cool because it was ours, right? But then when they started going to different cities, I thought that was good for the game, for the growth of the game. As a matter of fact, I was at one. Me and Teak were there. We were in Tennessee. That's the year the Giants drafted Daniel Jones. Hey, cheers, Tiki. I remember actually clinking beers with him. Like, is this guy any good? He wasn't exactly enthralled with the pick then either. But, it was in the middle of a great, fun city. Tennessee's awesome. Green Bay was popping last night. But, and I know I'm getting older, and I know I just have less and less tolerance for this stuff. And last night was a Knicks night. So, I mean, listen, even if there was nothing on, am I really sitting there through just a constant barrage of football terms and every highlight that I've already seen over and over of the players? Probably not. I would have been bouncing in and out of something else here. But can somebody please explain to me, because I don't know what the hell I watched for a good 2 minute span, that ridiculously inane bit that was attempted humor, or I think at the schedule release date. Does anybody know what that was? I felt sorry for them. Listen, we've all said things that we thought were funny that fall flat and like, all right, gotta keep it moving here. But generally, it's not on like national TV and in front of 200,000 people where it's going on and on and on. 200,000 people in front of you, let alone millions around the world. And it just goes on and on. I'm like, well, I don't even know what they're trying to accomplish here. Yeah, I understand. I was so confused at one point. I thought that they were going to actually reveal games. I'm like, oh, maybe the NFL is going to mix it up this year. And instead of making us wait for May 12th or May 15th, or I think it's May 14th, whatever it is, like we usually do when they draw it out even more for more coverage. I'll be watching the Yanks and Mets that night. Thank you very much. And I'll get the Jets and the Giants schedule on social media. But I'm sure some of you will watch it like zombies, not me. But I thought we were going to get something like good. Like, what was the payoff to tell us that, okay, this is the actual day a month from now or a couple of weeks from now where we will let you know, how we're going to basically infringe upon your Christmas Day holiday and some of these other days. It was just so stupid. The other stuff I get, you know, like even Goodell coming out on the bike. I know a lot of you were bagging on him. I actually thought that was okay. You know the tradition, the Packers going from the practice field all those years, the connection to, you know, the city. And if you've been to Lambeau, you know, and I was there a couple of years ago for the Jets game, it's just magnificent. It's phenomenal. So I thought that was fun. I like, some people think it's fake, whatever. I like how he leans into the handshakes and really revs up the moment for these young men. Like, he matches their energy, which I think is cool. I like the fact that he, you know, come on, bring the booze. Let's go. We know the charade here. Come on. All right. A little weak so far. Come on, a little more. But Wolf and what's the other girl from ESPN? I'm forgetting her name right now. But it was awful. It was like they were trying to act. It's just bad. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fence. Get back to the calls. Let me get AJ in Eastchester. No, I thought that would correct the issue here, guys. No, AJ, help me out with that when you can. AJ, what's up, bud?
What's going on, BT? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I'm good. You hit the nail on the head with this draft thing. Honestly, I remember texting a friend of mine last night saying, we're an hour and a half into this thing, and we're only on pick number 11. Can we get through this, please? Like, I like the handshakes and everything else, the enthusiasm, the way the guys come through the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
But all the other dog and pony stuff is just like,
I know.
Yeah.
I do like seeing what they're wearing. It's changed. So going back to, like, LeBron, where, like, the extra-long white communion suit back in the day, I like that aspect of it, and there's a lot of components I do like, but, man, they milk it to the point where it's just the redundancy is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm into the bling and the swag. I like that. I like that stuff. It's cool. But anyway, back to the Giants. I think your assessment on Milrow is on. I think the comparison to Jalen Hurts is a good comparison. What I think you're kind of missing on the Jackson Dart thing is, like, that Dable wanted him. Like, I think after the swing and miss on Cam Ward, and I think they really, really tried to do the Cam Ward thing.
Yep.
I think there was three other options, right? It was either Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, or Jalen Milrow. But I think because Dable wanted Dart, they had to do this. They had to move up because all the stories came out that the Rams, right, really loved this kid. The Rams really loved this kid, and they big boyed him. You know, they pulled this thing where they pulled it off. Like, look, we Joe Shane and Dable were catching a lot of criticism, been on hot seats, the both of them. And to do something like that, I think that's a big boy move. It shows that you're actually listening, that you're paying attention to what everybody wants.
Hold on, AJ, hold on. You lose me a little bit there. We disagree on some other stuff, which is fine. But when you start doing things, and you're saying this, not me, and reacting to what the fans want, that's not how you run a team.
What? I think it's more about what Dable wanted, right? And
oh,
look,
Dable. Okay. All right, go ahead. Keep going.
Look, Nick Saban, coached Milrow. You hear what Nick Saban said about Jackson Dart? He was glowing about this kid.
Yeah, he liked him. Yep.
But listen, so again, it is a swing. We don't know if it's a swing and a miss. We don't know what it is. But I think that we filled, absolute necessity. And I think the Tommy Cutlets thing is over. I think you cut Cutlets. you bring on Jackson Dart. You got three guys. You got two veterans in the room. I think it makes so much sense for the Giants. And I really listen, I'm hoping and praying. Obviously, look, it's the draft. And that's all you can do is hope and pray, right?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, that's it. And by the way, AJ, thanks for the call, man. I'm not bagging on Dart the player. I think Jackson Dart can play. I'm just confused by the process here. Like, if I was to, Hoff, open up the, oh, you got me? All right. So, Hoff, if I said to you, who was target number one for the New York Football Giants at the quarterback position this offseason? Your answer would be?
Cam Ward.
No. Matthew Stafford. I'm starting from the beginning.
Oh, you're going
maybe,
way
yeah, maybe
back.
I confused you. Stafford. All right, they offered him $50 million a year. They wanted Stafford. Now, you don't do that when you've got the third overall pick in the draft if you love the quarterback prospects. Don't forget that. All right. So number one, they were begging Stafford to come. Didn't come. Then after Stafford, who would you say they were most?
They were linked to Rodgers. They were linked to Wilson.
Okay. Then they kicked the tires on Rodgers. Played a little footsie with Rodgers. He said, nope, I'm going in this direction. Cross off Rodgers. After Rodgers and after Stafford, then what direction do we go in? Do we get to Cam Ward at this point?
No, Wilson.
Okay, there you go. I love how you buttoned up here. Yep, now Russell Wilson. And then you get to Cam Ward, who on draft night, and roughly draft or at whatever point of the day it actually transpired, the report, but Giants were trying to move mountains to get Cam Ward, who none of us even really love. I think he's better than Sanders. I don't think he's some rock star. I just don't. So I'm not dumping on Jackson Dart. Number one, I don't even like people who do that. I mean, unless this is all you do is, a football analyst. I don't really know. I'm honest enough with many of you to tell you, I don't know. Because I know it's franchise dependent, system dependent. There's so many factors that go into a quarterback working. And I've said this a million ways sideways. I'm not saying that Jackson Dart can't throw. I'm not saying that he can't run. I'm not saying that he doesn't have pretty good size for a quarterback. I'm not saying that he doesn't play with a linebacker mentality, which he does, which I like. What I'm saying is, he's like their fifth option. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right. 888-808-1019. Though, if you know what I'm saying? 888-808-1019. Will this thing be fixed within the next 2 hours? Or are we going to have to do this dance for the next 2 hours? We're going to be dancing, aren't we? All right. We're going to get to the king topic of the day coming up. Got a little something on Volpe. Got a little something on Brett Beatty. Looking forward to seeing the Yanks and the Mets. The Mets are just piping hot. Smoking the Phillies. Sick homestand. Maybe Soto will hit one in Queens one of these days. But the Volpe thing, I think you guys are going to hear. So I'll get to that coming up next hour as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.